This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Joe Madden Show is presented by Magellan Corporation. The manager of the Cubs joins me right here on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. Here is Cubs manager Joe Madden. Hey, Joe.
Good afternoon, right?
Yes.
It's afternoon. Yeah, it's 1 o'clock here, 101. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Good. Just having my morning coffee, got the lineup in, corresponding with my kids a little bit. My daughter sent me a great video of Carson this morning, my four-year-old granddaughter. So it's been a pretty fun morning.
What's the last week been like? Because for a lot of Cub fans, it's been agonizing. So what's it been like to be the manager of the Cubs over the last week?
Well, listen, it's frustrating. I mean, you put a couple more runs on the board and all of a sudden we're sitting pretty, but we're not. And so that's the situation we're in. The whole series against the Cardinals was an outstandingly played series on both parts. We just could not finish games off, and that's the reason why we're sitting in the situation we're in. Even the Cincinnati games, after beating up on the Pirates, we just, again, talked about it all year, the offensively challenged component of our team. We just didn't score enough runs, and I thought all year that the real strong run would come from the offense. It just did not want to happen. But the guys have been awesome. I'm talking about the players. They've been wonderful. Interactions have been great. Their enthusiasm is still there. Man, it's just the hits. Like last night was another example. We had a chance to really break that game open and did not happen. And then eventually they put a couple singles together, just moved the baseball, and they beat us.
I want to go back to Saturday because Saturday kind of felt like the end. I was watching the game at home, and things were starting to look up. Tony Kemp hits the home run. You guys are in good shape. You go to Kimbrel, and then boom, boom, you know, you're down 9-8. I take me inside the clubhouse of that range of emotions from you guys losing that game to winning that game to then eventually losing that game.
Well, you don't anticipate that result once you get Craig in there. And I know that he'd been coming back, but he felt really good. And heck, that was, I don't know, 97 plus that Molina hit out, elevated, which is where he wanted to be. So when you see things like that, there's been so many unlikely things that have occurred, even hits last night in that game where they just fall in. It's just been one of those years overall where we just can't get things rolling in our direction with any kind of consistency. So, it's frustrating. It's upsetting. And nobody felt worse than Craig did. Solid professional, man. I really like this guy a lot. And it just didn't work out the other night or the other afternoon. But it's a tough loss. It's a very difficult loss. And that whole series, you could look at each game and they're all very difficult to lose.
There are so many things, like you said, that have kind of gone sideways this year for the 2019 Cubs. Is there one thing that stands out to you that's the most perplexing?
The most perplexing, I mean, if you look at our offensive numbers, they look really good, and a lot of guys are having nice seasons, but we're just so hit and miss, I think, on that side of the baseball. We got a nice group. I mean, like I said, if you look at individual achievement, there's been a lot of that this year, offensively speaking. But, you can just go back to different clumps of games in big moments where we've just been unable to get the hit. For more than anything, I think that's it. I mean, starting pitching, some of the guys have struggled a little bit towards the latter part of the year. But everybody's been lining the bullpen. The bullpen has actually accelerated over the course of the year. The bullpen's been good. I think more than anything, the offense being, and I use the term clumpy, where we get hot a little bit, then you get cold. The inconsistencies there, I think, are the root of where our record is at right now.
You're usually and almost always a positive person. I'm curious, even for you, has the last week been a level of frustration that you've ever had as a manager of a team?
I've been doing this for a bit. There's been some of this in the past also. Take last year, for instance. I mean, winning 95 games and getting to that one game and then losing it, that's pretty frustrating also. However, you are right. I do tend to see the optimistic side of things, and there's always reason for things to work out as they do. And I'm not so narcissistic enough to believe that it's always going to go our way or my way. It's just the way this thing works. There's professionals on both sides of the baseball, and this year we've got just to not get over the top on these other folks. It's not like anybody's dramatically better than the other group. It's kind of really even, like I've talked about all year. It's just that like the Cardinals got hit when they needed it the other day. We did not. And for the most part, the Brewers have done the same things to us. So, of course, it's frustrating. But optimistically, always trying to figure out the positive. I'm still that guy, honestly. That's where I'm operating from right now.
Cubs manager Joe Maddon joining me here on The Score. Cubs will play again in Pittsburgh tonight. Our pregame starts at 5:30. You've said throughout the year that this has been a fun year of managing, and you've changed and evolved in the way that you've managed. I want to know, why was that the case, that you embraced this and were able to have fun this season?
Well, I mean, it is always about change. I mean, I really believe those that fail to try to improve upon what they do and how they do it and are willing to accept change, you're pretty much, you get stuck in the mud like that, you're going to be stuck in the mud forever. I'm always looking to make what I do and how I do it better. And so for this year, like I said, I think primarily when I talk about how much fun, it's been, a lot of it has been from the hitting perspective. A and B, it's been the new coaching staff, working with this new coaching staff, a lot of young guys that have not had a lot of experience on this level, and we've had great exchanges. We just, the other night when we got in here late, we went down to Redbeard's, a local wing and beer shop, and we had a great time, and everybody's giggling and laughing, and that's the real camaraderie that's necessary among the coaching staff to make it successful. So, yeah, I mean, it's been, I think, primarily it's been the interaction with the players. They've had a great time, and especially on the hitting side. And the other side is just the young coaching staff breaking it in. That's been a blast, too. They're very respectful. They ask a lot of great questions, and we have a great relationship.
So you think that you've added things to your arsenal of managerial tactics that you will continue to have going forward this season?
Yeah, I do. I've always felt I was communicative. I think I may have taken it to another level this year with a lot of different things I've done, technologically speaking, whether it's via texts or also my iPad is a great weapon. I mean, I could do a lot of stuff on that and email stuff out to guys so that they can look at things. And beyond that, just personal conversations. But honestly, I've been there pretty much since I've been doing this. I've always felt that is a big part of what a manager should do, and I've seen a lot of them not do that. So I think primarily the rebirth with coaching. But like I said, I think with the new coaching staff this year, I felt there was more of a need to do that. But overall, man, honestly, I know it's September, but when it comes to energy, I feel pretty good about that. And I've really had mentally a very good season.
What's it meant to you to take the Cubs from when you took over to go into the playoffs every year, except for this one, winning, finding yourself winning a World Series? What's that journey meant to you?
Well, it means a lot, obviously, to come from two great situations in the past with the Angels, and then the Rays, and then to come here and have, knowing the history and a lot of the negative component of the lack of optimism primarily when you walk in the door here in 2015 and kind of be a big part of turning that method around. If you had been around for a long time, you could think about back when there wasn't so much optimism. And then you get to the point now where there's the expectations are that it should happen all the time. And I agree with that. It should happen all the time, meaning a good result. So for me personally, man, I've just been, I'm late to the party. there's that component to it. So I really have always felt for the group, talking about the fans that have been with the Cubs for so many years, because it's such a generational enjoyment factor on the city from the city of Chicago and beyond. So to be included in that has been awesome. But I've always respected the fact that I came a little bit late to the party, and I was really proud and pleased that I was invited in.
Obviously, your contract has been a big topic of discussion all season long. You've managed without having that extended. Are you still in a place where you can say that you want to still be the manager of the Cubs?
Of course. I mean, that's what I signed up for in the beginning. It's always the intention was, but to stay for a really long time. And of course, that's still a possibility. But, you know, going through the entire season, you get to this point of the year, and it's really a two-way street. It works on both sides. You know, it's an organizational philosophy, what they're looking for, and it's also a personal philosophy, what am I looking for? So it is, it's not unilateral. It is a bilateral discussion and a conclusion to be reached. So we'll do that over the next couple of days, and we'll try to make the appropriate decision.
How would you describe your relationship with the front office?
Great. Awesome. Love these guys. They're awesome. They're the best. Brilliant, caring, brilliant is probably the right word. Very involved, competitive, and they're always there to ameliorate or make good for everybody, coaches, managers, players, wives, kids, everything about it. So from the ownership on down into the building itself, a really wonderful group of people, and like I said, really bright and competitive, and that's the part that should never get lost. These guys want to win too.
How do you navigate, obviously, you wanting to be here and kind of being stuck in a limbo with your contract versus mm-hmm. keeping a good relationship with ownership, with management, and then with your players?
You know what? I want to believe on a daily basis. I'm just go out there and be myself. I don't project negativity in any way, shape, or form. I always project a good outcome. And this is my job. I mean, I'm getting paid to do this, and paid very well. And I'm eternally grateful for that. I mean, it's made a big difference for me and my family. So there's nothing to be upset about. You go out and you do your job that you've been contracted to do, which I continue to do. And last night, high energy in that game up until that creepy seventh inning that just got away. But believe me, man, I am no less motivated now than I was on the very first day of the job. To be given this opportunity to be the manager of this organization is quite an honor.
Looking at the way the economics have changed around baseball, you see a lot of the managers with the big names, like you, like Joe Girardi, like Bochy, like all these guys, you're starting to see them go away for one reason or another in the game. I'm wondering, do the economics and the way that front offices are starting to look at the managerial position, maybe more of an extension of them and less about the personality in the dugout, is that a good thing for baseball?
I don't think it's a good thing for baseball, but I agree with what you just said. There is the extension from the front office of the dugout that's very important in many cities. There's still some that it's not as important. And the personalities, I mean, part of, we have to be careful with our game is that that every team's working off the same sheet of music. Everybody's seeking the, we're all wanting to win, of course, but then how do we win? And the analytical trend is getting to the point now where there is no real edge to be gained because everybody's doing the same thing. You're seeking the same players with the same kind of skill set. There's no individuality per organization, say, made based on philosophy. Like the back in the days with the Dodgers, heavy running game with really strong starting pitching. That's pretty much the corners what Whitey did in the 80s with the speed and the big ballpark and how he tried to tailor his team to that. A bunch of guys that could fly, make contact, and a couple of bangers in the middle. So every team, I think, had personalities that fan bases could identify with. But I think now it's kind of becoming blurred because everybody is working off the same sheet. So I think hopefully they're going to see somebody get out on the edges again, which made me more contact-oriented, speed-oriented, and again, a couple of bangers in the middle, not dissimilar to what Whitey had done back in the day. So I still think there's ways to really create that kind of interest, personality-wise, driven within an organization. Your players have to be the same. I'm here with us, we have so many charismatic players with the Cubs, and I think that's a strong part of our strong appeal. So not only good, but they're charismatic, and the fans really can identify and enjoy them. So that's the part I think baseball's got to be aware of. I mean, seeking solutions by trying to cut the time of the game to me is really not the way to go. It's about promoting the people within the game and putting out a product there that's entertaining. And not everybody just trying to hit home runs, don't care about strikeouts and trying to accept walks, and pitchers just trying to throw as hard as they possibly can.
I had a conversation with my colleagues before you jumped on the line. I said, you know, I feel like Joe's superpower is his ability to relate with people. You're handling, your actual managing of people. Where did that develop from, and how do you think you can get even better at it?
Began as a really young manager, man. I was 27. But even before that, I think, I mean, honestly, weirdly, and I don't want to get too boring, but being a quarterback, even from the time I was 10, I mean, I was quarterback to State Trooper Eagles when I was 10, and I was a starting quarterback, and you had to know what everybody did on the line and in the backfield. You have to know every play and everybody's assignment. And so you're almost like coaching a little bit on the field, even when I was 10. So that followed me through college, and then eventually I got the Pro Bowl. Being a catcher, I think, matters also because you really understand pitching. But beyond that, when I became a minor league manager and a scout, I did a lot of reading, and I wanted to become better at a lot of the things you're talking about. So I read a lot, I observed a lot, and then eventually I think I developed my own strategies and my own self-confidence in doing these kind of things. So we're all plagiarists in a certain regard. We all watch and read and see how other people do it, but then how you spin it, how you develop that, that becomes you. So we're all working from the same pool of information, but how you utilize the day and how you utilize whatever that is within each and every one of us, that's what separates. So for me, to get better is to never lose track of that, to always be aware of that, to always seek new methods while you're still making what you've done in the past even stronger or better, just based on it's about adhering to your thoughts and principles and what you think is right. But there's always going to be somebody out there that throws something at you that, hey, that might be a little bit better than what I had been doing. So you've got to be open to that too.
I'm getting a lot of text messages as we talk from a lot of fans that, you know, tell Joe we love him. Your connection with this fan base, I mean, clearly you win a World Series, you can be king in this town for a really long time. But it does seem to me that you have made a connection with Cub fans throughout your tenure. What does that mean to you?
Everything. That means everything. Because, again, the Cub fans have to understand, I think we do, they do. You are a unique group of people, man. The fact that you waited so long for that next World Series, and, of course, maybe some great-grandparents around for the previous one. But the patience involved, the fact that you stayed with it through more thin than thick, obviously, and just the way the fans have interacted with me. I mean, when I meet folks, it's like wow. And I could feel their passion. I could feel their sincerity, their authenticity. I could feel all of that conversationally. And I do believe, and again, I think for where I came from and how I was raised, that's part of the relationship here. So I've always felt that connection from day one, walking the streets downtown, which I do a lot. I've done a lot, and even to my coffee shop down there near where we live. So the fans are uniquely different in the sense of their passion. I've been to different cities, but nothing like this, nothing like we have in Chicago. I know Boston will kind of argue against that, but I'll argue against that again. I think the Cub fans are the best, and they'll continue to be the best. And, again, I'm really grateful to have made this connection.
You said that you expect in the next couple of days that you'll probably talk with the front office about this. How quickly would you like to know one way or the other?
Oh, of course. I mean, listen, you can't hurt my feelings by telling me the truth. I mean, there's a great line that I read in a Ken Follett book, never deny the truth of bad news. And so you just it's like any relationship. When you're dealing with straight up forward talk, you can deal with that. I can deal with that. You can deal with that. And I can kind of embrace that. Like I said, it works both ways. And that's what I want the folks to understand. It's not just a one-sided decision. So but we'll make that over the next couple of days, and we'll move it on from there. But again, I'm very pragmatic, I think. I think, like you've already mentioned, very optimistic. And so I'll just leave it with that. I'm very optimistic right now.
All right. Well, look, I feel like I would be disrespecting our segments if I changed all of a sudden.
Don't change. Listen, brother, this is not a funeral and a dearth. No, listen, keep it going, brother. I love this kind of stuff. And I'm telling you straight up, I am very optimistic about the future.
Okay. I like to hear that. That's good because I got to tell you, Joe, I don't like the idea of next April starting up this show at noon on Tuesdays and you not being here. I'm just going to be straight up and down with you about that.
Regardless of where I'm at, we could still do it.
That's true. That's true.
We can. Of course we can.
All right, well, then let me be true to the segment and give you a couple of listener questions to end this thing off. All right, this one is good right here. If you had to enter a food eating contest, what contest would it be, and how much do you think you could eat?
Well, I would love it to be a Mexican food eating contest, because it's my every food source on the planet. I still think Mexican food is the best. I would like to have a burrito eating contest. And it's going to fill me up way too quickly, but I don't think anybody really, it's always about the hot dog and all those different kind of eating contests, but the burrito eating contest to me would be very fascinating.
See, to me, I don't like the food contest because it doesn't seem like anyone is enjoying it. To me, the idea of the burrito eating contest is not just how many, but how good is the actual burrito?
Oh, it's got to come from, hopefully, New Mexico. For me, New Mexican style Mexican food is still the best in the United States for me. Lived in California, lived in Arizona, really outstanding. Don't get me wrong, outstanding. And there's a place in Chicago, we get sometimes that I love at the ballpark. Gosh, I can't remember the name right now, but it's outstanding. But New Mexican style Mexican food to me is the best.
With the green salsa, it's always really, really good.
Hatch chilies, egg on top of everything. It's a little bit spicy now. You got to be careful, but it's still the best.
I love Albuquerque, and you go to the McDonald's and they do the green the salsa on that. It's really, really good.
It's outstanding.
Favorite movie when you want a good laugh?
And I want it's probably Talladega Nights is always one of my favorites, and so Step Brothers. And I was just talking to Borzy. I was good friends with John C. Reilly. Walk Hard, I think, is one of the most underrated, funniest movies I've ever seen. The Dewey Cox story. I could go on. I mean, those guys there, John C. Reilly, to me, is one of the funniest dudes out there. And I love all of his stuff, too.
And it's got your girl Pam in it, right?
Yeah, it does. Pam's in there. She plays his sidekick. I think she does a wonderful job with that. You've seen the movie, haven't you?
I have. I love it.
When he gets halved in the beginning.
I mean, it's
who thinks of that stuff?
The partnership that John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell have come up with over the last 20 years is, you talk about great comedy duos, man. Like, those guys are right there when it comes to what they've done in their careers is amazing. Absolutely amazing.
And Sacha Baron Cohen in Talladega Nights, man, his character is superb.
Here's another last one. Best hotel on the road.
Okay. I'm sitting in one of the top two or three. I love the Fairmont in Pittsburgh, believe it or not. Pittsburgh, the vibe here is outstanding. I don't think it's Pennsylvania influence. I'm looking at one of the yellow bridges right now.
It's beautiful.
The way that it's gorgeous. The Three Rivers right here, all this stuff. But the Palace in New York, where we stay in New York, is really, really cool. It's right next to St. Patty's Cathedral. You walk out the side door and you walk up the street, walk right into St. Patty's. So either the Fairmont here in Pittsburgh or the Palace in New York City, both outstanding.
I love Pittsburgh. The Warhol Museum's right around the corner. It's so great. The architecture there, Mr. Rogers, you have all the Negro League stuff. Like, it's a fascinating place to go and watch and consume baseball. So I'm a big fan of it myself. Joe, thank you.
Their ballpark's outstanding. Their ballpark's outstanding, too.
Thanks for a great season, man. This has been a fun partnership this season. I know that the season itself hasn't gone the way that you hoped that it would, but I really appreciate that you've always been fun and honest and giving your time, and you've really helped launch this show. So I wanted to give you my sincere thanks, and I wanted to tell you, man, I hope that we get the opportunity to do this again wherever it is that you might be.
That's very mutual, man. I mean, I've done this in the past with different people. I don't want you to know, your professionalism really shows through. Your ability to extrapolate information in a very in your way, I think it's outstanding. So I wish you continued success also, and hopefully we'll get a chance to continue this.
I agree. Oh, I forgot to tell you, I went to Man's Post on Sunday.
What'd you get? What'd you think?
The potato pancakes, Joe. Come on.
Killer. Yeah, killer. That's exactly like beanies. That's not kind of like beanies. That's exactly like my mom's.
It was so good. And my wife had the lasagna rolls, and she loved those too.
The citrus flavor, that was Aaron Theobald, our head chef there. I think it was his idea. It's outstanding.
Joe, thanks a lot, man.
Be well, brother. See you later, man.
That's Joe Madden.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.